views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you tune in to what makes you vibrant and powerful so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live, and by doing so, help the whole planet shift to a more peaceful and loving way of being. Today, I want to share some thoughts about bullying. This is such a hot topic and one that tends to make a parent's ears perk up and their shackles to rise, especially if they hear it in the same sentence as their child's name. The idea of someone bullying our child is almost more than we can bear and creates a response in us that can feel pretty overwhelming. Now, like any topic that finds its way into the spotlight, there's a lot of room for misinterpretation and confusion as you hear things about it on the news. Maybe you discuss it with your buddies at the water cooler or sit down with your friends. And one of the things that really complicates it is it's natural for us to draw up our own memories, maybe of being bullied when we were younger, or maybe of even being the bully itself. It just pulls on these memories, and when they come to the surface, what really comes up is all the emotion that's tied to them. So the result is fear. And anything that puts you into that state, I think, is worth learning about. So I want to talk about developing a healthy response to bullying as a parent, but also as a person living in a society where bully-type behaviors are super common, and we experience them happening all the time. Now, this is not something that is reserved just for kids. This is something that we all deal with in our lives. So to me, it's really important that we understand what's going on and that we have a healthy way to deal with this situation anytime it comes up anywhere in our life. I'm going to focus this conversation mostly towards dealing with a child, but I'm hoping that you'll be able to recognize that with minor modifications, you can use these same ideas and strategies when you're working with your best friend, with your neighbor, with your employee who comes in and tells you something. This is transferable to all areas of your life. Okay, so let's go back to how hearing about bullying as an adult tends to cause the shackles to rise and this fear to shoot through us when we think about it relating to our kids. This fear response shifts us into protection mode for our kids or any loved ones. Now, there's a couple major problems with protection mode. The first is that to really deal effectively with any challenging situation, we need to be at our smartest. But when we move into protective mode by necessity, we're not able to think as clearly because the blood is diverted to our muscles from our brain. We need to be strong. That's what our body thinks. We need extra speed, extra strength, not extra brain power. So as a result, overreaction becomes super likely, and it often creates a response that looks much like bullying behavior. I mean, if you think about this, let's say your child tells you, you're in the change room after a hockey game, and your child tells you that the 17-year-old assistant coach is picking on him, making fun of him. And you right away think bullying. And so you say to your child, you know what? come on, we're going to deal with this right now. And you grab him by his hand and you strut over to where this 17-year-old is standing and you puff yourself up to your biggest form, because that's our natural way to do this. And you stick your finger out and you point it right into his chest and you say, "Don't you ever pick on my child like that again, or you will have to deal with me and you're not going to like it." Now, if you could take a step back and be the fly on the wall and watch that interaction, which is actually not that uncommon, in that moment, you just shifted into a sort of bullying. You threatened, you used the fact that you're older, that you're wiser, that you're a parent, so you have power over that 17-year-old. And you modeled to your child exactly what you're afraid is happening to them. So that's never really a good plan. Now, the second reason that protection mode is a problem is because when we do it, just like in this example I just shared, we often are sending our child a message that he or she is not strong enough to deal with the situation on his own. Now, above all else, we really must let our kids know that they are resilient. They can handle whatever life throws their way. It might not feel great to live through these undesirable experiences, but it is part of living. And it makes people stronger when they embrace it as part of their life challenges and learn skills to deal with it. So I'm going to share 5 tips for raising resilient kids who can handle anything. And I'm talking about it specifically as it relates to bullying, but we really want to understand that this goes way beyond bullying. This is about our life when it comes to resiliency. Okay, so the first tip, teach your child that life is going to push them around sometimes, so they need to learn to deal with it. Now, I know that's counterintuitive to that whole idea of being protective, and it's hard for us to do that, but it's important that we're honest with our kids, that we help them understand these things happen in life. It is in the best interest of us all to teach kids how to protect and stand up for themselves, regardless of what comes their way. Bullying is part of our world. This does not mean we should condone it. It doesn't mean we shouldn't try to eliminate it. It simply means we must teach our kids how to handle it. The second tip, let your child know that no matter what happens in his life, you've got his back. In other words, you do not believe that he's faulty or that people should be allowed to push him around. You're going to help him to come up with constructive ways to stand up for himself and will advocate on his behalf if and when it's required. The third tip, if your child discloses a bullying situation to you or any situation about being picked on, mistreated, whatever, do not panic or overreact. Just listen to what she has to say. Empathize with her. Hear her out. Ask her if she'd like help brainstorming the solutions. I'm going to go into a bit more detail on this in a few minutes, but that's really what you want to do. Keep your child firmly in the driver's seat of this problem while encouraging and supporting her through the process. The fourth tip, help your child to see that just because a bully says something, it doesn't make it true. We know this. It's not the first time you're hearing it. Bullies and anybody who's trying to put another person in their place are looking for things that their target might be sensitive about, and then they prey on those insecurities. So help your child to see that his insecurities are not based on fact. When we believe what a bully says is true, we give him a power that he doesn't deserve. The fifth tip, talk to your child about the options that she has for standing up for herself anytime someone says or does something that makes her feel bad. Discuss how uncomfortable situations will come and go throughout her life, and that no matter what life throws her way, she has what it takes to deal with it. Help her to learn the skills she's going to need to do that. So those are the 5 tips for helping your child be resilient. Now, I need to address something that is actually becoming a pretty big problem. And that is, we need to stop labeling every mistreatment, every problem, every hurt as bullying if it happens to younger people. People have become so afraid of bullying and how it might negatively affect their child that they truly are starting to label any unfair, mean, or hurtful behavior as bullying. And here's the real kicker. Relationship challenges with peers are an important way for kids to learn how to navigate disagreements, how to practice being assertive, and how to communicate what they're feeling. These skills are critical life skills that they're going to need in their life. And we learn them with our peers. We learn them with our siblings. So we can't start labeling them all bullying. There's always the potential for any situation to escalate into something more. Okay, so it's possible that something that wasn't going to be bullying could become bullying. But in most cases, peer disagreements are simply a golden opportunity to, you know, help your child, you know, teachable moments. That's what I mean, to find those teachable moments. So let's say that your 11-year-old daughter comes to you and tells you that two of the popular girls in her grade, Megan and Sarah, were making fun of her today. Now you immediately flash back to being picked on when you were in school. Or maybe you were actually the bully, which is just as scary because you know how mean these girls can be because you were one of them, right? In either case, you have all these emotions that come up and you feel this sense of panic. And so maybe you are that take charge kind of person. So you say to your daughter, okay, you know what? Let's nip this in the bud right now. I'm phoning their moms. And if that doesn't fix it, I'm going to call and talk to your teacher. And you know what? You're not even going to walk alone to school anymore. Your brother, who's 14, right? He's going to walk with you every day. Oh man, he's going to love that, right? Can you imagine as the daughter how you feel right in that moment? I mean, there's a tiny bit of relief that mom has got your back. She's going to protect you, but really she doesn't have your back. She's got your front. She's jumped in front. She said, honey, I'm going to fix this for you. She's going to make your brother walk with you. Oh my gosh. And Megan and Sarah are going to hear about your complaints and you can't believe what's happened. So what your daughter hears is that she's not capable of dealing with the situation on her own, that she's in need of protection, and that you are not really a safe person to divulge secrets to. That's what she's learning. Now, as if this isn't enough, let me show you how far-reaching the effects of this can be, okay? You overreact. You phone Megan and Sarah's moms. Megan and Sarah's moms react, maybe even overreact as well, not because they're worried their child's bullying yours, but maybe they think your child has caused the problem. Who knows? The next thing you know, there's calls to the school. There's all kinds of zero tolerance policy things being put in place. Things are happening. And what your child gets from that, she can believe she's weak. You had to take over for her. She internalizes this victim mentality. She's also suddenly become a target for bullies in training. Those are all those kids that are just playing around with their power and they aren't quite sure whether to use it for good or evil at this point. And they're looking for targets. And suddenly your child has a target on her back because she told. And now you called her parents and they've called the school and it's a mess. So she's suddenly a target. She's suddenly being coddled by adults, you, but also by the teacher, maybe the principal, maybe the guidance counselor. They've all been instructed to protect her. She might become hypersensitive to normal disagreements with her peers, where suddenly somebody could walk by her desk and truly trip, grab her purse that's sitting on her desk, it dumps on the floor, and she can take that personally. In fact, she's quite likely to take everything personally now because she believes she's somehow a victim. She's defective. And then finally, nobody does well in an environment where a zero tolerance policy has been put in place and is being used as an excuse for zero thinking, where somebody is being suspended from school because zero tolerance says that if you call someone names, you're gone. You know, that's just doesn't work well for any of us. So in other words, your child can become over-traumatized by a situation that really would have been just part of growing up if you had supported her rather than overreacted. So I'm not saying you shouldn't be there for her. I'm not saying you shouldn't do anything. But when we take over, it doesn't work in any of our favor. So let me just give you a quick idea of what I call bullying. Bullying always involves a perceived power imbalance. So someone is stronger, bigger, older, wiser, has authority over. The person who's being bullied feels threatened and believes that the other person will follow through on their threat. So in other words, they believe there's no way out. They have no choice but to do what the bully tells them to do. That is a true bullying situation. Now, notice I did say the word perceived power imbalance. So even though two kids could be the same age, they might be in the same class, this other child might be smaller than your child, but might be super smart and manipulative and able to turn things in their favor. So it doesn't look like a power imbalance, but to your child, it's a perceived one. So it gets a little tricky, but we don't even have to define it really, as long as we know how to effectively deal with it. So let me tell you how you might do that. When a bullying situation arises in your child's life, they are going to look to you for clues on how capable or incapable they are to deal with it. The first thing I want you to know, this is really important. When someone comes to you and discloses a bullying situation, they are already starting to reclaim their power. Isn't that cool? That's something to be celebrated. You know, we want to take that moment and treat it with the respect that it deserves, because your child, in this case, has decided that it's worth it to tell you what's going on rather than to stay silent. And that's what the bully wants them to do, is to stay silent, to just give them their lunch money or whatever the case might be. So you want to treat this moment with the respect that it deserves and allow it to be an empowering opportunity for your child or your employee or your best friend or whoever it is who happens to come to you with a story about being bullied. So here's how you can do that. The first thing you want to do is you want to listen. It's important to understand that anytime someone comes to you with a story to share, they are asking you to really hear them. A great way to do this is by using tools like empathic listening, in which you focus on understanding what that person is feeling, and then you use that information to connect with them. So it sounds like you're pretty frustrated. I can understand that. The goal is to make sure you hear what that person is saying without reacting and taking over the conversation. Now remember, if your child is being bullied, he's likely afraid and possibly embarrassed because he's afraid. So make it as easy for him to talk to you as you can by being a really good listener. So you empathize by putting yourself in their shoes. Think about what things were like when you were their age and go from there. Yikes, that sounds scary. Or, you know, I think I would have been terrified if that happened to me. If you don't know how it would make them feel, because maybe you were never bullied and, you know, just wasn't part of your experience, you could ask them, yikes, you know, I'm not sure how I would have even felt about that. Probably pretty mad. How did you feel when he said that? Now, you want to be careful not to take over the conversation. I'm going to talk about that more in a moment. But you could say something like that if you really feel like you can't connect to what your child is saying. You also can clarify. If you don't understand something, you could say, okay, hold on a minute. I really want to understand this. So are you saying that the other kids saw what was happening and they just stood there? Be really careful. You can just hear in that comment how the potential is there for your emotions, you know, that mother bear to come out and for you to see it as a reason to get really upset. So if you feel emotions coming up, you could say, oh my gosh, this is making me really mad right now, but let me just take a moment. I would have hated that if I had been in your position. So you're going back into that empathizing again, and you want to let the emotion go because it's not going to help you right now. In order to keep the door to communication open and to find out what is really going on, there are some habits that you definitely want to avoid. Okay, these are things that we have learned to do mostly as adults, but probably from a fairly young adult age. All right, the first one is joking. Often we do this to try to lighten the mood, but when you interrupt somebody to say a joke to lighten the mood, you are not being a good listener. So, you know, those comments like, what does the other guy look like? She's probably just jealous of your curly hair. They might fit in later when she's given you her full story, but there's no room for jokes at that particular moment. Don't try to lighten the mood. Allow the mood to just be. Okay. The second one is, and this is really common for parents, is defending the offender. You must have done something for her to treat you so badly. No, you didn't have to do anything. Bullies often will just strike out. So don't even go there. It's not helpful right now. Taking over the story. Oh, I know how you feel. You know, when I was young, I was probably even the same age as you, and there were these girls, and away you go, and you've taken over. You don't want to do that either. Not a good listener at that moment. And finally, the one that we're all probably A-plus students at, fixing. We want to help our child shift out of where they're at, the state they're in, how they're feeling. So we start to try to fix. Maybe we say, did you tell the teacher? Because, you know, the teacher should be watching out for that. Maybe we even jump into solving as well. I'll call her tomorrow. That is not good listening. None of those things are. So really try to be aware of that. Just empathize and listen. The second thing you want to do is to give reassurance. And so here's what you do. Instead of those four things, you use little prompts to let them know that you're listening and to encourage your child to share more. Wow. Really? I see. Even nodding your head can work. And when they're done sharing their story, you want them to hear that it's not okay for them to be treated this way. So you understand there's nothing wrong with you, right? The way those other kids are behaving is the problem here. Now, your child might argue this point. If they do, just let them argue it. Let them vent. Don't worry about trying to correct what they're saying. Just let them vent. Use your, I see, wow. It is critical at this stage that you understand your child is not being picked on because she wears glasses, talks funny, lacks social skills, or has a mixed up family. Remember, bullies are looking for something their victims might be self-conscious about. And if you believe that there's something wrong with your child's glasses or family or social skills, and you feel sorry for them as a result, you will make matters worse. So you need to get past that and know that there has never, ever been a case where the glasses have caused that person to actually be bullied. Okay? It's just a prompt. The third thing, encourage inner strength. Your child needs to be told through both your actions and your words that while people picking on them is not okay, that they are strong enough, smart enough, and resilient enough to handle it. So you don't want to take over the struggle. That's very important. You want to use this opportunity instead to let your child know that he will experience plenty of uncomfortable situations in his lifetime. So, honey, this is a chance to learn some skills to help you deal with challenging situations like this so that you have lots of tools if something like this ever comes up in your life again. Talking to them like this helps to take them out of the victim role and reconnects him with his natural resiliency and his ability to take back his power. The fourth tip, empower and support. Your goal is to support your child while helping him believe in his own strength and ability. Ask good questions if you need to prompt for more. So what did you do next? What do you plan to do now? Offer support and understanding, right? Would you like me to help you brainstorm? Do you want my help coming up with some ideas? Empower your child by brainstorming constructive ways to handle the situation. Help them seek out resources. Maybe they want to take a self-defense class, not to strike back at this person, but to really feel confident and good about themselves. Maybe they want to take a different martial arts course. Maybe you read bullying stories. Just really watch out for those ones that end with a person beating the other person up, because that's not reality and that's not the best way to deal with things. So bullying has become a buzzword in our society because we have forgotten how resilient our kids truly can be. Let's take that power back and empower our kids and our friends and our employees and everyone to stand tall, knowing they truly can handle whatever life throws their way if they're just willing to look at the resources that will help them. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of vibrant, powerful moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.